Hey!
Folks.
Resurrect the Republic. Truth Radio Broadcast. On RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
That is that.
Talk about mega feedback for me in the beginning there. I'm sorry if any of you heard that. I did. It's gone now. Welcome to the show today on Sunday. Crazy censorship continues. I did an interview with Wolfgang Halbig. And in that interview, we did not discuss, and I was very careful because this was at a time where YouTube was purging anything that was remotely questioning the whether Sandy Hook or whether Parkland happened or it didn't happen. So we didn't go there. What we spoke about was the financial fraud and corruption that were skewing the crime statistics via the Promise Federal Grant Program, which is, by the way, were supported by affidavits from Miami-Dade law enforcement officers. We discussed the Smith-Mundt Act, Homeland Security, the Boston bombing, Obama-era neo-Marxist, federal grant program. So anyway, I mean, Wolfgang is a former state trooper, Florida state trooper, who what was relevant about this interview was that he had actually drafted and sold to the Broward School District, where Parkland School was, the emergency operational plan. And so we discussed how their failures, even as compared to the official story that they were putting out, how the failures and how they departed from the plan of which supposedly the school was going by. So anyway, this has been purged now from, the censors at YouTube just 3 days after my YouTube channel was freed up from the strike that it had. I get another strike. The strike is based upon the interview you're about to hear. If they're going to censor me there, at least I am going to use RBN's free speech platform to get the information out. So without any further ado, please roll that clip. Wolfgang Halbig. Resurrect the Republic. Truth Radio Broadcasts on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today, a special guest, Wolfgang Halbig. Wolfgang, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Looking forward to a real great discussion and provide you and your listeners updates as to what's happening with Sandy Hook Justice and our civil lawsuits with Alex Jones and myself as a co-defendant. I hope this will be an informative session.
Oh, I think it will be. I just because of your background and being where you are, it's going to resonate with some of our listeners who, of course, know that I didn't get off into the deeper conspiracy theories of these aspects. I kind of follow the money. I investigate the money and the federal money and things that were supposed to be done that weren't done, fraud that was committed. You're very familiar with a lot of that being in Broward County, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, we can start off, first of all, your background. Your state trooper, you helped draft the plan there in that district, right?
Yeah, I actually worked in 2006, 2008. I helped the Broward County School Board and develop their emergency management plan. They've never had one. They purchased it from me. We helped them with their active shooter response. We helped them develop their implementation of putting CCTV cameras throughout the campus, especially Building 12. They've got 19 cameras in there, and they're very high resolution. So there is no doubt whatsoever that we should see the truth as to what was happening in the stairwell going up and coming down.
Yeah.
But yes, I was their consultant.
Well, you know, I know that there's a lot of mainstream media out there that have they've just tried to vilify anyone who asks any questions regarding these things, and it really kind of blows my mind. And you know, part of what concerns me about this is, you know, this propagandizing of the American people. President Trump said that, you know, we believe, this is a tweet from the White House, we believe our warfighters deserve the tools, the equipment, the resources that they have earned with their blood, sweat, and tears. In honor of that sacred obligation, I will put my signature on the National Defense Authorization Act. Now, I'm a conservative Christian, and, you know, I'm certainly happier to have Trump than than what the alternative was. But things like this kind of bother me in respect to the propaganda that was legalized under the Obama administration that the federal government is now allowed to put out, repealing of the Smith-Mundt Act. So basically, they've legalized propaganda on the American public, but then you ask a question about anything that they say or do, and you're labeled some kind of nutcase. And to me, we created the government. The government doesn't have any more power than individuals have. We couldn't have created something and given it more power than we had to give it. So my argument to this propaganda and the censorship is, if the government is claiming that it can propagandize people legally now, how dare they censor people who question in any way? You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I used to teach American history and an American government in high schools, the seniors. And, you know, and I like what you're saying. People tend to forget that we've got three branches of government as checks and balances.
Yeah.
And what used to be good, we had the news media, the national newspapers, news media. They kept us in check because guess what? They held us accountable for what we're doing. But now, as you're saying, they're part of the corruption. They're actually now, you know, using propaganda. They're getting paid by the government to publish certain news stories. It's not real anymore. And I like the fact that President Trump is the first president ever to call the national news media out.
And
I'm proud of him. I'm going to tell you what, that took a lot of courage to call them out. And you know what? They are fake. They're not telling the truth.
No, they're not. But the thing that part of that that bothers me is not with Trump per se, but part of it what bothers me is that basically we know about Operation Mockingbird. We know that excuse me. We know that Jesse Ventura, like when he became governor, he said that, you know, he was called down to a meeting in the basement of the Capitol in Minnesota, and the CIA was down there, and they were really perplexed as how he won. And they were asking him a bunch of questions, and he was basically told that just about every state house in the nation has an ensconced CIA employee in a normal position. It's usually a lifetime position, and when they retire, they're replaced by someone else. And I'm like, it's a hidden, smoky American Stasi. It's not anything that the founders would have approved. They would be rolling in their graves. It just blows my mind. So when we question these stories, these events that we see that are playing out in front of us, you know, I know that people get emotionally twisted because it's little kids, and then there's the parents, and so all of this emotion. But they completely, the mainstream Mockingbird fake news, communist news network media, they just will not. They just don't go down the area that. God bless you. Remember Naomi Wolf when she?
Yeah.
Remember that piece that she did when. You know, they asked her in a Q&A, and she was like, I didn't want to do this because, you know, I didn't want to go there. And
okay, I think he's got one.
Hey, on your number 10, where you're saying, oh, well, you know, the whole, you know, martial law, what do you think of what happened in Boston when we were looking
for a
pressure cooker and two teenagers, you know, and then they took over the whole city and shut it down? And to me, that looked a whole lot like martial law.
Yeah,
Oh, God, I can't believe... See, this is why I didn't want to give this talk, because I knew that we have this conversation, and now it's on the record. All right, let me take a step back. We have to deal with it. Let me take a step back and a deep breath, because this is a very painful thing to talk about. So, all over the world, we know, it's well established, the State Department and intelligence agencies engage in theater, and it's what they do, it's spycraft, to create spectacles and events that people may not realize are spectacles and events, but that, well, like the overthrow of Mossadegh in the 50s in Iran. They'll funnel money to protesters, they'll, you know, fly people in to infiltrate protesters, they'll create fake newspapers, and so on. So we know that this happens in countries around the world. I believe that a law has been passed in the United States. I think it's part of the Defense Authorization Act. I need to confirm this. That, pardon me, now makes it legal to propagandize American citizens. Is that, do we know about that? Yeah, it's true. And is it in the NDAA or is it in something else? Do we know?
It's a separate bill.
It's a separate bill. And it's been passed. It's now law? Do we know what the name?
2 years ago.
Do we know what the name of it is?
I don't remember, but I reported on it.
Oh, thank you. Will you send me the link?
Yeah.
Thank you. So what this means is, and I, you know, as a journalist to say these words, just I can't tell you with what a heavy heart I say them, but we've entered an era in which it is not crazy to assess news events to see if they're real or not real. And in the United States as well as overseas. And in fact, it's kind of crazy not to. Now, you know, there's so much hype about what I just said, and so I want to be very clear about it so it can't be taken out of context. You know, there's, pardon me, this kind of reflexive vilification of anyone speculating about that because they become a conspiracy theorist, right? Well, just bear with me. You know, I've often thought about this because our intelligence agencies, and for I respect spies. I mean, you know, who are doing, like, before it got out of control, I believe we need intelligence. I believe we need intelligence agencies. I don't think there's anything dishonorable about being in the intelligence services if you obey the Constitution and the law. But all over the world, our intelligence services are engaged in conspiring to create outcomes. That's their job. That's how they're successful. So now that it's illegal to propagandize in the United States, it doesn't surprise me that there's more and more products coming up in popular culture, more and more events in the news stream that seem to be, to my eye, to be subsidized. Let me give you some examples of that. I'm not talking about Boston right now. I'll get to that. We also talked earlier about infiltrators, right, and how they provoke violence. This is well established. So if we know that infiltrators by the police, NYPD, they've been documented, or other police forces, dress up like people they're not and provoke violence, why is it unthinkable that there might be spectacles that might drive an outcome in the news stream? Let me give you a couple of quick examples. And all I'm saying is we, unfortunately, and I have to say this to my fellow journalists as well, we've entered a time in which we need to be very skeptical about the news stream and look at it critically and ask for more verification and more inquiry. And that's just being good reporters. And it makes it like this. There's spectacle fed into the news media in China. There's spectacle fed into, like, Chile. How did Pinochet, you know, engage in his coup? He created photographs of a cache of weapons that the terrorists had, you know, hidden. Was it real? Was it not? Most historians think it wasn't. I mean, this is like not unusual, you know, in the process of creating a closed society. So if laws have made it legal to assassinate American citizens and legal to propagandize them, why should it be crazy or weird to think that that might be for a reason, right? All right. I saw the movie Zero Dark 30, thank you very much. And I have worked on two presidential campaigns, so I recognize political talking points. And I wrote a piece saying, this reads like the Pentagon signed off on the script. Because there were like chunks of political talking points identifiable to anyone who's worked in Washington. Right? And you don't come up with those if you're a writer writing a screenplay. And everyone was very upset. It was very controversial and scandalous. But in fact, belatedly, a news story came out saying that in fact the Pentagon had, I think, subsidized some of it, but had certainly consulted directly on the script. And I see more and more TV shows about the CIA and more TV shows about spies and gigantic blockbusters in which surveillance is normalized and gigantic blockbusters in which people are tortured to get them to talk in a way that might exonerate people who actually tortured people to get them to talk in Guantanamo. And there's all this money being pumped into these unaccountable, you know, terrorism fighting things. And now there's no law preventing that money from going through front organizations right into popular culture. So that's of interest to me. And so another thing I want to say, and there's so many people waiting to ask a question, but I just need to say this, is I'm skeptical of certain news events that seem more theatrical than the norm, or I want to ask questions about them. Because I was in CNN once recently, and they were reporting a story about a water skier who had been decapitated on a lake between Mexico and the United States, and it had something to do with a terrorism threat, right? And I was like, decapitated water skier. Sometimes you hear these things and it's like so novelistic. You're like, real life doesn't work that way. Like, these are so novelistic. Someone's coming up with it to make it stick in the popular imagination. Or it just makes you think, well, I'd like to document that. I'm a reporter. What's the source? And it kept being just this one guy, Judge Arpajo in Texas. I may be mispronouncing his name. He's a very, he was the source. And I have this wonderful Facebook community all over the world. And I went on Facebook and I'm like, Mexican Facebook community, is there any reporting about a beheaded water skier in this lake, in this place in Mexico? And they're like, no, what are you talking about? There's nothing like that. Doesn't exist. So I turned to the CNN producer and said, do you have a second source for this story? And it was all over the news, all over the news, all over the news. And they're like, and they checked and it's like, nope. Just this guy, judge, whatever. And I'm like, well, can you find a second source? And they were blushing and embarrassed, and they looked and they confessed that they didn't have a second source, which if you know what journalism is, you're supposed to confirm it with two sources. So ever since that experience, CNN is running with this. No one's verifying it. Journalists aren't in a position to follow up on anything anymore because budgets are slashed and there's no investigative reporting. All this nonsense can enter the media stream for purposes that have to do with advancing agendas, because no one's checking. That's all I want to say about that. Can I take more questions? I guess my feeling about any of these things is, let's investigate. We need to investigate. We need to ask better questions. We need to interview the doctors at the hospital. We need to interview the victims. We need to, you know, get all the footage ourselves. We need to train citizens to be journalists and to have websites. And I'm busy building one as a startup where citizen journalists can document events so that we're not leaving it to the gatekeepers. Yeah. Does that answer your question? That wasn't your question. I'm so sorry. All right. Thank you so much. Yes, sir.
Suggestion and a wish for you.
Thank you.
We're all...
But, you know, these mainstream fake news media is just unbelievable. So what other right? We are the check and balance in the government. We have to ask these questions, do we not?
We have a responsibility to ask those questions, you know, and think about it. You know, this news media is allowing this conspiracy to run wild. They're part of the problem, like at Parkland, the school shooting at Stoneman Douglas. You know, I'm surprised that Governor Rick Scott, all these people, DeSantis, all these politicians, Senator Nelson, Pam Bondi, you know, why are they not demanding to see a picture of Nicholas Cruz going up and down the stairwell on that three-story building? Yeah. You know, it would put this whole conspiracy to rest. Instead, they're just letting this thing fester, and they're getting people frustrated and angry. See, the media is responsible for allowing that to happen. demand to see a picture with Nicholas Cruz in the stairwell. We don't want to see bodies or blood because we know nobody got shot and killed in the stairwell. But I want to see Nicholas Cruz dressed in full metal garb.
Like yeah.
said, hey, I said, police officer, he's got a gas mask. I want to see that picture.
I was about 2 feet away from my door. All of a sudden, I heard gunshots in the stairwell, which is about 20 feet away from my room. And then kids were screaming and then running back towards me and towards the end of the hallway. So I just went in this very strange autopilot mode where I pivoted on my feet. I unlocked my door and the kids just started pouring in my room. I don't know how many kids were in there, but I was pulling them and getting them in and shouting at them to get in the room. And then I suddenly saw the shooter about 20 feet from me, standing at the end of the hallway, actively shooting down the hallway, just a barrage of bullets. And I'm staring at him thinking, why is the police here? This is strange, because he's in full metal garb, helmet, face mask, bulletproof armor, shooting this rifle that I've never seen before. I don't know when I decided it was the right time to close the door. I grabbed the handle with both hands, and that's when I got nicked, or grazed, or whatever you call it.
But why is it that our politicians, they can shut this conspiracy down in a heartbeat? And so I have a lot of questions about Parker and that shooting.
Yeah, you know, I have some questions about that too, including and it's I have a theory that they intentionally brought on the conspiracy theories, and what I mean by that is there was a video of David Hogue saying that, you know, he was at home and he jumped on his bicycle and pedaled to get interviews, and the way they put it out. First, he put out videos of interviews as if he were there when it happened. And he may have been there when it happened. I don't know. But my theory is this. He goes and does this interview with the Mockingbird Media and puts it out that he was at home and jumped on his bike and hauled butt over to the school because this just couldn't be another shooting. And I think that they put that out intentionally.
On the day of the shooting, I got my camera and got on my bike and rode as fast as I could 3 miles from my house to the school to get as much video and get on as many interviews as I could because I knew that this could not be another mass shooting.
I there's a possibility that he was there during whatever happened. I don't know what happened because I wasn't there.
And that no amount of money should make it more easily accessible to get guns. And that's that. That was more well articulated in my head.
Do you want to say anything else?
No.
This is Alex View. This recording was taken at 9:32, February 14th, 2018. Alex, are you okay with me recording this?
Yes, I am okay with you recording this.
Okay.
I personally have rallied for, you know, gun rights and less control, not necessarily less control, but this experience has definitely changed my viewpoint. I wanted to be a junior NRA member. I wanted to learn how to hunt. I was always fascinated by guns as a young girl, but this experience was so traumatizing to the point where now I can't even fathom the idea of a gun in my house or on my bodice. I did have plans for my 18th birthday to go to Nexus Gun Range and learn how to shoot. But at this point, I don't even want to be behind a gun. I don't want to be the person behind a bullet because I don't want to be the person to point a bullet at someone. And to have the bullet pointed at me, my school, my classmates, my teachers, my mentors, it's definitely eye-opening to the fact that we need more gun control in our country because for this to happen and for people to be so neutralized to it, I even texted my sisters shooting at my school, I am safe. They both responded with, OMG, LOL, you're funny. Now that's a problem in society, and it's a bigger problem in America, and it needs to be fixed. And I believe the most definite way to fix it is by changing our laws when it comes to gun ownership.
The fact that this has happened so much, that school shootings have happened so much, to the point that we need drills for them almost as often as fire drills, is unacceptable. I call on the legislators of this country to take action and stop this from happening. Thousands of people have died from gun violence, and it's time to take a stand. Forget the NRA, forget all of the political backing. Take a stance for human lives, for children lives.
Or whatever happened. And then later he came back on his bicycle. But the way the media portrayed it, the way they seeded that out there, everybody in the truth community just went nuts. And they jumped on that. And then they were all focused on that. And then, of course, comes the debunking after the fact. So I think that the media is not only irresponsible, but I think that they are deliberately inciting this conspiratorial, you know where I'm going with this. I think they're stoking, they're gaslighting.
David Hogg is not worth anybody's time to see or listen to. He's like the Gene Rosen at Sandy Hook. They put Gene Rosen out there, you know, as the mouthpiece, interview after interview after interview. Hogg is the Gene Rosen, okay?
Yeah.
It's not real, and the media is responsible for allowing that to happen.
Oh, I so agree with you there. One of the things that I wanted to talk about before we get any deeper into other areas is the Kids Lives for Cash is what I call it. The Conservative Treehouse put out an article. They're also known as The Last Refuge. And they expose a program, and it's something that Laurie Anderson, my co-host, and I were already kind of digging. We were following the money of what was going on down there. And then we came upon the Promise Federal Grant Program, which is to eliminate the school-to-prison pipeline for marginalized students. So I think that that's interesting in the fact that Nicholas Cruz had some 40 contacts with law enforcement, and he was never – and some of these incidences were – they could have, should have interceded and done something. There was felenies that were committed. There was assaults that were committed. And he was never taken to task. So I don't know if you've seen this article. I'll send it over to you. But I'm sure being so ensconced into your profession that you are aware of this federal grant program. Is that not true?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There is so much coming out of there when you hear the word federal grant. There is so much loose money. And that's why I think we need to hold these people accountable. It's not their money. This is what they don't understand, federal grant. No, it's not a federal grant. It's taxpayers' money.
That's right.
It's used to cover up conspiracy and fraud, deception, illusions. And the people have got to start thinking on their own. They can't depend on that idiot box at night when they turn it on and watch the national news to be their source of the latest information. It's not real news.
Yeah.
And I think they need to wake up. They need to get busy. We need to get our country back on the right track.
Well, I agree with you. You know, K. M. Heaton was a national educator, and this is a quote. One of the least understood strategies of the world revolution now moving rapidly towards its goal is the use of mind control as a major means of obtaining the consent of the people who will be subjects of the New World Order. This is a direct quote. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Well, the New World Order is not about gun control. See, that's what the media is selling.
Mm-hmm.
Guns. It's not.
No, it's much more than that.
Yeah, it's about dividing the country and controlling the elections.
Yes.
Whoever controls the elections, controls the Supreme Court, they are in control. And so what do? We have Sandy Hook, Boston Marathon, Pulse Nightclub. We got Broward County. You know, every time there's a major event like that, it's dividing the family, you know, and that's what they're counting on.
Mm-hmm.
They're destroying the fabric of the family, and we got to stop it, the sooner the better.
Yes, I'm looking right now at a media advisory that came out of the Miami-Dade County Public Schools. It said Miami-Dade Schools Police reduces juvenile delinquency by 60%. This is what this Promise
grant program was supposed to do. But what we found out when we researched this, and we have testimony and affidavits from at least five different officers, were basically that they were to write it up in reference to found property that's actually criminal contraband. They were told to write it up as found property, not make the arrests, and, you know, drug-related cases, all of that. And what that, of course, led to is once all of the criminal scumbags out there realized that the kids were being let go because they were trying to reduce these crime stats, they started using these kids more and more. And the actual truth of the matter is that crime was fomented by this activity. And
absolutely. Can you imagine with that system in place? Get the juvenile to be your drug dealer. Let the juvenile sell your drugs.
Okay? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But nothing's going to happen to them.
Yep.
You know, yeah, it makes great headline, reduce 60%. But what they don't do, they don't tell you the rest of the story, is we're not arresting students that should have been arrested. They committed the crime. They know right from wrong. And the day we stop issuing consequences, we are in trouble as a society.
Yes, yes, I agree. Now, I'm looking here from a tweet from Jake Tapper. I don't usually agree with Jake Tapper on a whole lot of stuff, but he said this. This is horrific. In November, a tipster called the BSO to say Cruz could be a school shooter in the making, but deputies did not write up a report on that warning. It came just weeks after a relative called urging BSO to seize his weapons. Now, I would like to submit that he may very well have been used for a patsy at some point, but leading up to this, his history, even the students at the school all said the same thing. The kid was nothing but problems. But I believe that this Promise Grant program was at least, in part responsible for the making of Cruz.
Now, I totally agree.
Yeah, and I'm looking here at Sergeant William Tagle, Internal Affairs Investigation Report, Stephen N. Hadley, Senior Affidavit, Commander Deanna Fox Williams Affidavit, Detective Guy Lamore Ochoa Affidavit, all affidavits from cops that tried telling people, they're trying to tell you what's going on, what's wrong. But again, we have this mockingbird media that just will not tell the truth. You know, one of the CBS News executives, former president, Richard Salant, said, and I quote, "Our job is to give people not what they want, but what we decide they ought to have." Now, with a mentality like that, who could go wrong, right?
That's right. And therein lies the problem.
Yeah.
They are telling you what they want you to hear, not what you need to hear.
Yeah. Well, so there's a lot of questions. I know that you don't want to really go back to the date of the incident at Sandy Hook, but there were some very good questions that you brought up. And I think that it is valid to at least, I know a lot of people, you've probably done this a million times, but, could you tell us a little bit, like the trauma helicopters, things like this, things that, as a former fireman, I don't know about you. I don't really care if there's an active shooter. If I know that there's kids that are harmed, my first instinct is to run towards them to save them, to help them. And what we saw and what your natural reaction would be, just they don't equal up.
Well, and that's a great point you make. And when you look at a tragedy unfold, as we're watching breaking news on CNN, the first thing you notice when they showed cops storming a school, they got the wrong school. They're actually showing the people in the world, Connecticut police officers running into a school, making it pretend that it's Sandy Hook Elementary School. They showed the wrong footage. How do you even do that? I mean, the worst shooting.
It's funny, but it's not.
Yeah, but it's the worst elementary school shooting in the United States. And if you're going to cover it, why not cover it right? Make sure it's factual. Make sure you check your sources. You know, telling everybody the mother was a great teacher at Sandy Hook Elementary School, great kindergarten teacher for 15 years. Well, who put that out? Okay.
Right.
I mean, so much misinformation. no trauma helicopters, no paramedics ever allowed in there. If I were a parent and my child was in that school and they were shot, I'm going to tell you what, I'd sue the living hell out of you. Can you imagine my child could have been saved had we let the paramedics and the EMTs in? Now, who made that decision? See, I mean, it just keeps going on and on, but nobody wants to answer my questions.
Please turn on a mic. Have a seat there.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Excuse me, you need to have a seat and tell us your name and address for this.
Yes, sir. My name is Wolfgang Halbig. I'm from Sorrento, Florida, 25526 Hawks Run Lane, Sorrento, Florida, 32776.
Thank you.
Board member, superintendent, a little over a year ago, I sat in this chair, and I asked you for help about asking questions about an incident that happened in your community. Tonight, I pass out one page, and it has to do with your board agenda tonight. It talks about celebration of excellence. I cannot tell you how proud I am tonight. I got goosebumps. When I see a boardroom as a former principal, when I see this boardroom packed, standing ovation, when you got children in this room and you recognize them for all the good things they've done, I mean, I'm telling you, I got goosebumps. That's what you're about. That's what you're about. You got kids here, parents. That's what we want. Standing ovation. But I'm upset, and it bothers me to this day. Board members, you allowed, under your watch, 26 children from the Sandy Hook Elementary School Choir to go on a field trip all the way from Sandy Hook to New Orleans to sing in the Super Bowl. Can you imagine those 26 children, the pride that they brought back in the healing process of Sandy Hook in Newtown? Those 26 children sang before over 100 million people around the world. These kids brought love back in your community. But I look at your school board agenda, February the 2nd, 2013, they sang at the Super Bowl win, February the 3rd, 2013. You know, not one of you board members said one thing about their performance. Read your school board minutes. Not one of you acknowledged the fact that they did a great job, that they were excellent in what they did. I don't understand that. That's what your job is. How could you ignore that? I mean, I'm about to fall out of this chair. These are somebody's children who traveled on a field trip. They represented you, and you don't even acknowledge their singing? And then, how in the world could you not bring them, those 26 children, the chorus teacher, and their families into this boardroom and reward them with excellence? They represented you when they are introduced as the Sandy Hook Elementary School Choir. They're representing the school board. They're representing their parents, their community. And you know what? You can ignore me. You don't have to look at me. But I tell you what, you didn't bother to bring them into this room to shake their hands, to hug those children.
Excuse me.
In my 3 minutes up.
Your 3 minutes are up.
Yes. I agree with you. But let me tell you something. If I were you, I'd do the right thing and bring those 26 children here, bring their parents, bring their chorus teacher. Why would you not recognize their excellence? I'm ashamed of y'all.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on agenda items in particular?
Hey, I want you to block my path. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, you're so
excuse me.
We still have public participation open if anybody would like to speak.
Yeah, and that's really the problem here, because now if it's taxpayer money that funds all of this stuff, the one thing that, you know, I'm sure it disturbs you as much as everybody else is the lack of transparency. All of our tax money, if they spend tax money on it, we should be able to get records on all of it. There was a push at preventing people from getting the information of these of the kids. You know, what was that? I remember seeing that footage of they were going after a suppressing of the death certificates and all kinds of things. And you know, one of the guys said, "Is this really a problem? Is this something that do we even really need to be addressing this?" It's like they made such strides to just hide everything, and then they wonder why we ask.
Yeah, they created laws when they've never had a problem before. So those laws were created especially for Sandy Hook, such as the autopsy, releasing autopsies, death certificate. Yeah, these laws were created to make sure you and I will never see the truth.
Yeah, well, I Wayne Carver said, I hope it doesn't come crashing down on their heads.
It's coming. It's coming.
I hope they and I hope the people of Newtown don't have a crash on their head later.
Yeah.
It's coming quick and fast, and they better be ready. Because, you know, Alex Jones and myself have been, we've got 8 parents who filed a civil lawsuit against us in Connecticut. We're going to be in federal court. And I can promise you this, the truth will be seen in front of a jury.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Well, not that the fact that you have to go through it, but I am looking forward to that because, you know, I've been covering some of these stories. I had my main YouTube channel terminated and the reason that they gave me was they went back some years, 4 years back. I was contacted by a active duty constable in the state of Pennsylvania who wanted to get a story out. He knew that I was a conservative Christian and I guess he had listened to the show, and so he reached out to me, and I went to Pennsylvania, and I did an interview with him. His name is James Canning. And he said that a month and a half before the Boston bombing, that a friend of his who worked for Homeland Security had reached out to him and told him the date, and told him that in a North American city, he didn't give him the city, but in a North American city, there's going to be a major event. Basically, don't believe anything that you see, don't believe anything that you hear. And the reason that he made the call was that at the time, James Canning, by the way, he's a veteran of both the Army and the Marine Corps. He's a decorated veteran and an active duty law enforcement officer. And the thing that just blew my mind about all this is that this guy was reaching out to him because he was working on possibly creating a company of former veterans to secure the shipping lanes for commercial shipping from pirates. Right. You know. So this guy in Homeland Security was reaching out to him, trying to get out of Homeland Security. And this is what he reported to me. I'm just reporting what he told me, right? So as a journalist, when a cop tells you A, B, and C, you know, I don't know that it's true, but I'm going to report what he said. So YouTube decided that my report, after 4 years of being online, somehow violated their Mockingbird controllers in there, and they decided to rip my channel down, which just left us with a bunch of Swiss cheese for articles. So I mean, the censorship is on. It's really Orwellian, and I don't see how they can get away with doing that when they have themselves legalized propaganda to the American people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I brought up the lawsuit with Alex Jones and myself.
Yes.
I have just gone through a lawsuit for 2.5 years with a parent by the name of Leonard Posner.
Oh, yeah.
Who had a son named Noah Posner who supposedly died at Sandy Hook. I want you to know he dragged me for 2.5 years through a civil lawsuit, costing me all kind of money, time away from my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And when the judge finally decided enough is enough, he directed him to show up for a video deposition, provide me all of the interrogatories and discovery documents that I've been seeking for 2 years. And when he was supposed to show up, they dropped the entire lawsuit over 2.5 years. They just walked away and dropped it. Now, what does that tell you about the character of this Leonard Posner who lost a child at Sandy Hook? What does that tell you about that individual? Here was his chance. He filed the lawsuit. Here was this man's chance in front of a jury to show that Sandy Hook was real and true. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what that jury would have done to me? They would have fined me all kind of damages for harassing this man and his family members. But instead of showing that Sandy Hook was real, he just backed away and ran away.
Well, I had a little tangle with him myself. Again, this was more of a YouTube type of thing, and we have a channel now on BitChute. And I'm moving over from Facebook to Minds.com. We're all being chased off of these platforms, but I had a tangle with him myself. He filed a strike complaint for harassment because I reposted the Independent Media Solidarity Project's We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook. Right. And so they hit me for that, and I actually won that argument, which to me was I was kind of when I actually won the appeal. This is, of course, before YouTube was as bad as it is now, but I kind of walked away scratching my head going, did they just really, I couldn't believe it. You know, it was like, okay, well, maybe there is some truth here. Maybe they're afraid because the next step would have been filing a suit against him to prove that anything in that video that was said was incorrect.
Yep.
That was the next step. And I'm a lawyer's son. I have no problem filing a civil lawsuit. And so, and when I, the communication went back and forth, I said, okay, 15 years at a law firm, have no problem filing a civil suit. Tell your claimant that, it's about to come. And then boom, it's strike lifted.
But here's a parent who lost a child, supposedly. He's got the stage. He now is in a courtroom in front of a jury.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He can now convince the world that Sandy Hook was real. And instead of doing that, he just backs out and disappears.
Yes.
Now, that tells you again his character. What kind of person does that?
Well, and the other question that I have is, first of all, if I lost my child, I don't care how big a controversy was, if I'm not implicated in the controversy itself, I could care less what other people believe is real or not real. It to me, that's not going to, if you really did lose your son, none of that's going to bring him back. It's not, it seems to me that it just doesn't make any sense, for him to keep dragging himself. If this is genuine, to keep dragging himself through all of this when he could just go home and watch a football game. It just blows my mind how he just absorbed into attacking everybody. And then he didn't walk away with anything. So I'm very interested to see where this suit goes.
And you love the letter he wrote me. Pay me $10,000 and I'll drop the lawsuit. See, it's all about money.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's called extortion in my book.
Yeah, I don't think that should be legal, if it even is. Was that ever brought up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But see, what the attorneys do, since you're a son of an attorney, they put it on the letterhead of an attorney, and it makes it look like it's a settlement agreement.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so you were offered a settlement agreement. Legalized extortion.
It is. It's legalized extortion. You put it on the letterhead. But the thing is, since I didn't pay him, okay, mm-hmm. Why didn't they carry out the lawsuit? Why didn't they take it to the jury? See,
Yeah.
It's still extortion.
Yeah, yep, yep. Well, we can only speculate, you know, and I want to just, as a disclaimer, you know, a lot of these things that we're discussing are theoretical. The behavior is just abnormal. It's like the behavior of a lot of people that are involved in these incidents is just, bizarre. You know, like the shooting that just, happened in, Jacksonville seemed to me to be at least somewhat authentic in that I believe it may have actually gone down the way it was reported. However, we find out that kid was on psychotropic drugs. See, that's another thing. CNN, with their town halls, and it's all about the NRA's murdering people and guns and all of that, but they don't want to talk about it. You won't hear CNN talking about the fact that all of these kids involved are all on psychotropic drugs, which, by the way, either alone, if it was authentic things that were happening, or not, the side effects to these drugs are a myriad of homicidal ideation and violence and all kinds of stuff. But then you have the more deeper down the rabbit hole type theories, is that when these kids are on these kind of drugs, they're very easy to manipulate, and they're very easy to, I think, set up.
Well, you know, I used to be a former school administrator, and I did a lot of workshops all across the country on school safety. And you can research this in Ed Week. It's the national publication for teachers and administrators. Mm-hmm. They actually showed that 52% of all educators today are on medication. Oh. And they want to give guns to our teachers. Who is making these decisions?
Well, you know, I can only think in my mindset, you know, if I were a teacher, but then again, I'm not on psychotropic drugs. I'm not on Xanax. I'm not on any medication. So when I think about it from my mind perspective, I don't think about, well, what if these people are A, B, and C? I think about it like, well, what if I was a teacher? I wouldn't mind being armed with something. Now, you know, I had a kind of a nifty little idea. It was really a meme. Right after the Parkland shooting, that, you know, every classroom should have a safe with a beanbag gun. Can you imagine if an active shooter did step out? Could you imagine if three teachers stuck a barrel of a 12-gauge beanbag gun and hit them at the same time? I don't think that, you know, but in a non-lethal, you know, I don't know.
No, but you got to remember, the one thing we train teachers when you're in the classroom, mm-hmm. know your surroundings.
Yes,
some
yes.
word unfold. What is it that you have available that you can use to help neutralize the threat, okay? Yeah. And what people don't realize, all of our classrooms today, they're not like the old days where we had a fire extinguisher in the hallway about every 100 yards.
Right.
We now have fire extinguisher in every classroom, okay? All you got to do is take that fire extinguisher and you blast that person, okay?
Yeah.
It gives you opportunities to do something. They're not thinking. These companies out there are selling everything they can. You know, there's one school district bought a bunch of rocks, you know, throw rocks at this guy.
I mean, that's biblical.
They're buying this stuff left and right. And then, are you ready? I saw the thing here in Florida. You know, the push is to have a single entry to a school. You know, Parkland, they want to have a single point of entry. Well, guess what prisons have? They have a single point of entry. You go in that way, and that's where you come back out. See, we don't need to build schools like a fortress or prisons.
No.
Listen, our schools are safe. We do a hell of a job every single day. It's that 1% that you got to worry about.
Yeah, no, not even 1%, 0.01. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I remember back to when I went to school and we had shotguns in our pickup trucks. But you know what? The biggest difference was, a lot of the parents were a mother and a father at home. Yeah. The kids weren't on a whole bunch of big pharmaceutical pushed medications. And the culture was different. And the more we get away from the moral tenets, man, we have a bunch of Tide Pod eating nutcases these days. They need safe spaces and they can't be offended. And I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent, but still.
Every time you go into a restaurant from now on, okay, sit there and watch family members eat at a restaurant, okay?
Oh, yeah, I did that.
They all got their iPhones. They don't even talk to each other.
I took a video of that. Five tables in the restaurant we were eating, five different families, and everybody was looking down in their lap, tapping.
They are not even talking. See, the family values are going down the tube. Yeah. I mean, how can we not see this? And you know what the iPhone does that people don't realize?
What's that?
It doesn't teach you empathy.
No, not at all.
See, we're losing our emotions and feelings and caring for others. That iPhone, it doesn't teach empathy. And I think you'll see the consequences decades to come.
Well, you know, I fear that you're right. What we do is we try and educate. I have a lot of listeners whose their parents, they reach out to us and they're getting their kids supplemental education, constitutional education, historical information, and they're starting to teach their kids in addition to sending them to these schools. And but we're being hit. I think that the fact that they're pushing for gun control and not talking about, you hear about them talking about the mental health crisis, but here's the problem. Their idea of combating the mental health crisis is more medication. It's big pharma again. It's not taking your kids and raising them properly and dealing with problems. Let's just medicate the problem to make the symptom go away. You're not treating the problem. It's not treating the problem. You're just treating symptoms, and you're making people billionaires by doing it.
Yep.
It's
you're
sickening.
Absolutely right. Yep.
And all these media companies, I think just about every one, have pharmaceutical representatives that sit on boards. You know, MSNBC, CNN, all these places, they have pharmaceutical liaisons, and they just keep pushing this stuff down the throat. And any bad story, it seems to get buried. Well, anybody just has to look around. There's all kinds of class action lawsuits, but you don't hear the mainstream media talking about it. You see an infomercial from a law firm that says, if you took this drug, you know, contact us because we're, so, you know, but you don't hear the mainstream media talking about it.
Right.
So anyway, so the questions that were not answered. There are a lot of questions that weren't answered at Sandy Hook. Now, Parkland, I think, is a more recent of a situation. Can you give me a breakdown of what you think of overall of the Parkland incident?
Well, think about it. Remember, I've been in that school campus many times. The fire alarm that you hear people talk about, guess where it was triggered?
Where?
It was triggered in the front office.
Oh.
Now, who in the hell is going to pull the fire alarm in the front office of the school? And then the school administrator is going to come on the intercom and tell all those 3,000 kids to evacuate the school?
Oh, yeah, let's just make a bunch of targets.
Well, folks, if you want to listen to the rest of that, you can go to the BitChute channel. It's up on there now. This has been censored content, which is why I ran it today. We will not be censored. I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to share this information. And as you heard, nothing in that. There is nothing in that that harasses anyone. And that's what they claim, that it's harassing and bullying. We weren't harassing or bullying anyone. If you can't have a conversation, well, then there you go. So anyway, if you guys, any of you out there that are on Twitter, go to my Twitter account, RTR Truth Media, and tweet at Team YouTube. We already have a tweet out there. If you'll retweet it, send it to them. Help us spread the message. So this is Tom Lacovara Stewart, RTR Truth Media, Resurrect the Republic on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you next time.
Don't your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.